This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to Qalam Institute's podcast. Visit us on the web at QalamInstitute.org and join us on Facebook at Facebook.com/QalamInstitute.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we're going to be starting off this week. You'll be beginning lots of new things, inshallah, studying Arabic, learning some Quran. One of the things that, inshallah, we'll also be focusing on this week is the adab of ilm, the etiquettes of seeking knowledge, the etiquettes of knowledge itself, and the etiquettes of being a student of knowledge. And it's something that's very crucial, very critical, extremely important. And it's something that we talked about maybe on and off last year. And coming into this year was something that I was very insistent on, that we dedicated a set amount of time to this from the very beginning, from the get-go. And inshallah, this entire week, the last session of the day, at least for these 4 days, Monday through Thursday, inshallah, we'll be dedicating some time to talking about the etiquettes of knowledge, the etiquettes of seeking knowledge, and the etiquettes of being a student of knowledge. And so the very first thing that I'd like to mention to you is a little bit of motivation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because you're obviously motivated to seek knowledge and to learn. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have invested the time, the energy, and made all the sacrifices that you've made to get to this point. So that obviously is understood by you. But I wanted to bring to your attention just a little bit of that perspective from the Quran, from the Sunnah, from the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a very beautiful hadith mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, where it's narrated by Qubaysa bin al-Makhariq radiyallahu anhu. He says that I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, مَا جَاءَ بِكَ? What has brought you here? What brought you to me? Why have you come here? What can I help you with? And Qubaysa radiyallahu anhu, and I was listening to some of the introductions, and as was the case previously, this year as well, we have some students that are a little bit older than the rest of the students, and this will be specific motivation for those students who have more challenges, who have more going on in their lives. And he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I've become very old and my bones have become very weak. Meaning he was complaining to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I'm an extremely old man, I'm very elderly. He says, but I came to you to learn that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow me to benefit from it. I came to seek from you, I came to learn from you that which will prove to be beneficial to me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told him, he said, مَا مَرَرْتَ بِحَجَرٍ وَلَا شَجَرٍ وَلَا مَدَرٍ. He says, never will you pass by a single rock, a tree, or even a house made out of clay. Mud, like a mud home. Any time that you will pass by a rock, every time you will pass by a tree, every time that you will pass by a shack, he says, إِلَّا إِسْتَغْفَرَ لَكَ يَا قُبَيْسَ. Except that that tree, that rock, and even those shacks and that mud that you are passing by, it will be asking Allah for your forgiveness. It will be making dua for you. Every single, all of the creation of Allah that you will pass by will be making dua for you and asking Allah to forgive you. إِذَا صَلَّيْتَ الصُّبْحَ فَقُلْ ثَلَاثًا. And then he finally gave him some knowledge. He gave him some insight into the deen, some understanding of the religion. And he said, whenever you pray Salat al-Fajr, then three times say, Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. He said, say the dhikr of Allah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi, that how absolutely perfect is Allah, the firm and the strong, the stable, and with His praise, meaning with His praise I continue. And he said that this will free you, this will save you from becoming blind, from developing leprosy, from becoming paralyzed. He said that making this dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single morning will protect you from all of these evils, not just the benefit in the hereafter, but will protect you from so much harm, so much adversity even in the life of this world. And then he told him, Ya Qubaysa, قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ مِمَّا عِنْدَكَ وَفْضِي عَلَيَّ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ وَانْشِرْ عَلَيَّ مِنْ رَحْمَتِكَ وَأَنْزِلْ عَلَيَّ مِنْ بَرَكَتِكَ. And then he taught him a dua and he said, Qubaysa, always remember to make this dua. And he said that, O Allah, I ask you for that which is with you. Meaning, give me knowledge directly from you. And then he told him, وَفْضِي عَلَيَّ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ, and shower down upon me all of your benevolence and your generous blessings. And then he said, وَنْشُرْ عَلَيَّ مِنْ رَحْمَتِكَ, and then spread your mercy all around me. And finally he said, وَأَنْزِلْ عَلَيَّ مِنْ بَرَكَتِكَ, and then rain down upon me your blessings. Always make this dua. So Qubaysa radiallahu anhu came to get knowledge. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first motivated him, he inspired him. He encouraged him because he saw Qubaysa had some hesitation. He said, I have these challenges, I'm very old, it's difficult for me to learn, but I want to benefit, I want to grow. So first he motivated him, he inspired him. And then what did he do? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him something very practical. Something very practical to start off with. Just three times. After you pray Salatul Fajr, make the dhikr. And then finally he ended by teaching him a dua about, he gave him perspective about ilm. The knowledge he gave him was very little. Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. Most of you in this room probably know that. You're probably thinking, a sahabi rasul, a companion of the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't know that much. It's very little knowledge that he gave him. He didn't give him a whole lot. He didn't teach him the tafsir of the whole Qur'an. He didn't teach him the entire Sahih of Bukhari. He didn't teach him a collection of a hadith. Taught him something very small, practical. But what was the majority of the words of the Prophet ﷺ focusing on? He told him to make dua. And he said that make dua that this knowledge is that knowledge which comes from Allah. Make dua that this knowledge becomes a means of the blessing of Allah. Make dua that this knowledge becomes a means of you seeking and attracting and bringing upon you the mercy of Allah. Because that's what's important at the end of the day. And so that's the focus that I want to create here. That's the focus that I want you guys to have going forward, is exactly what you're here to accomplish. What you are here to do. The first thing I have to address, the first thing, and that it's the first thing because it's the most appropriate, it's the most necessary, and this is part of the sunnah of our ulama. This is, this is something I'll come back to later, but I want you to understand one thing really quickly. A lot of times, because of the society, the culture that we live in today, it's a very capitalistic culture. It's a consumer society, and we become extremely affected by it. We're impressioned by it. And so we love talking about innovation and creativity and groundbreaking and earth-shattering and life-changing. We like this type of talk. All right, this program is earth-shattering. You students are groundbreaking. This teacher is revolutionary. We love this type of talk. I need you to understand something very important. And this is not to degrade or downgrade what you are doing here, what any of us are doing here. In fact, I feel it lends more credibility. It substantiates, it solidifies exactly what we're trying to do here. And that is, we are here to carry on a tradition that is over 1400 years old. We are carrying on a tradition, we are holding an amana in our hands that is 1400 years in the making. This has gone through 1400 years to arrive in your hands in front of you today. So because of our capitalistic like mindset, that doesn't seem, it seems like it's old, right? It's old, it's played out. It's not new, it's not fancy. No, 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 but we're here to completely change our mindset about everything. You came all this way, made all the sacrifices you made to learn the Qur'an. That's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was revealed over 1400 years ago. You came to learn the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are 1400 years old. That tradition is what adds, is a great part of the value of what you're here to accomplish. So understand that we are part of a tradition. So I was saying that it's part of the sunnah of the ulama, that whenever they set out on a great endeavor, particularly in regards to ilm, one of the first things they addressed was intention, ikhlas, sincerity. The Sahih of Imam Bukhari, what is the very first hadith? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Actions are based on the intentions. Actions are made by the intentions. Actions are proven by the intentions. Actions are only as beneficial as the intentions that back them. So the intention is everything. The intention needs to be figured out, needs to be solidified, needs to be clarified, what you are here to accomplish. And that's the very first thing that we're going to talk about. And what we're here to accomplish is something very, very simple. The first and foremost intention, as is with everything else, is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. That is really how simple it is. It is to please Allah. Nothing else matters. There are a lot of things that I will be talking to you about, and the other teachers will talk to you about. I'll be talking to you about this here in this first week. in terms of working hard and studying hard and all of these things, and those are very important. So what I'm about to say, I don't mean to undermine those things. Those are important parts of being a quality student. But I do want to break it down. I would do want to oversimplify today. Because if this point hits home today, if you're able to digest and figure this out today, everything else will fall into place. Everything else will work out. And that is your soul, your primary goal is to please Allah. That's it. So if you do everything that is needed, everything that is required, everything that is necessary in order to please Allah, and at the end of the day, as a conclusion, as a consequence, as a result, you really don't have much to show. You didn't accomplish a whole lot, as much as you thought you would. You did not become proficient within the language as you would have hoped that you would have become. But you kept your goal in front of you and you did not compromise your goal for anything. You stuck to your goal. You will have been successful. But if you accomplished a lot in the language, but you made compromises in regards to your primary goal, and that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you didn't accomplish anything. Anything at all. There were many students that I studied with. There were many teachers that I personally benefited from, who by their own admission were not the best students in their class. They were not. Not by any measure. But today, here and now, there are hundreds of thousands of people that have benefited from them and their knowledge. And they were not the best students. It was because they kept their values in place. They understood what was the objective, what was the goal. And there are plenty of brilliant people who accomplished a lot, who know a lot, who could tell you a lot. Forget about anybody else benefiting, even they don't benefit from their knowledge. That knowledge does not even materialize within their own lives. So it's very important that the primary goal be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to please Allah alone. That's what it boils down to. What is knowledge? Al-ilmu nurun. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, knowledge is a nur. It's a light. It illuminates the heart. Where does that nur go? What does it illuminate? It illuminates the heart. There's a beautiful khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was the first khutbah the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave in the city of Medina. The first Salatul Jumu'ah that was offered, the first khutbah that was given a Friday in the city of Medina by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that khutbah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about the Qur'an. And he talked about... So, and he talked about the Qur'an, and he talked about ilm, the Qur'an which is the fountain of all ilm, all knowledge, all the understanding of our deen. And he talked about that being a nur of the heart. And when that heart is illuminated, then everything else that comes out from this body, our personal interactions, our ibadat, our mu'amalat, our mu'asharat, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we do business, the way we speak to people, everything becomes illuminated. Everything is munawwar, everything is enlightened at that point in time. So that's what ilm is. The Prophet of in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, you know, there's a very famous ayah of the Quran, surah number 39, surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 9. This ayah of the Quran is written all over universities, madaris, jami'at, centers of Islamic knowledge. Many of them, wherever you go, you'll find this ayah inscripted everywhere. قُلْ هَلْ يَسَّوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, can the people who know ever be equal? Will they ever be equal to the people who don't know? Right? And so that's a testament to ilm and knowledge. That's a virtue of knowledge. But what we forget to do is we forget to read the beginning of the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَا اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا. That what about that person who stands in total, complete submission? He's completely submitted before Allah. أَنَا أَلَّيْلِ, all night long. سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا, in sujood, in standing. يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةِ, he fears the akhirah. He worries about the akhirah. He's trying to protect himself from the tribulation and the punishment of the akhirah. وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ, and he hopes for the mercy of his Lord. قُلْ هَلْ يَسَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُوا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. People of intelligence, people of understanding, people of sensibility will grasp this, will realize this. And so it's very important that we never forget the foundation that's in place to build our relationship with Allah. That is the primary concern that we have. And that directly will cure, that directly will solve this problem of this consumer mentality that is unfortunately infesting ilm today. We are not store owners, we are not shop owners, and you are not customers and clients. You are not. And what you have sitting in front of you, what will be imparted to you, is not going to be merchandise. It's not. If you came here for that, you will be very disappointed. Extremely disappointed. But if you came for ilm, then our best effort and our hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our dua will be that you will be, inshallah, you will go home with something to show for you. You'll benefit, inshallah. And so that's the very first thing that I feel that needs to be understood by all the students here. Now talking today, what I wanted to focus on is, once we have the intention down, once we understand the basic premise of what we're here to accomplish, what we're doing is, then I wanted to just talk about briefly a few adab of ilm, a few basic things, principles to put into place that will allow you to maximize your time here, will allow you to benefit from your time here. And then the subsequent days, the following days, inshallah, I'll be talking about different facets, different aspects of seeking knowledge in terms of balancing your time. We'll have a lot of focus in terms of what should be the primary activities or the engagement, the involvement of a student of knowledge. We'll talk a lot about family. They might be like, well, that has nothing to do with seeking knowledge. That is a huge part of seeking knowledge. Because like I'm talking about just improving through seeking knowledge, that is the one of the first places where we see that improvement. And it also happens to be one of the very first places, one of the very first situations in which many students of knowledge end up failing. So we'll be talking about that, and then we'll also be talking about the teacher. What role does the teacher play? How do we interact with the teacher? How do we... Because again, I should save this for later, but we're dealing with a whole... We have a very complicated, complex situation on our hands. This is not, you know, Baghdad in the 700s, in the 7th century of Hijrah. This is not Baghdad in the 7th century of Hijrah. This is not Medina in the 3rd century of Hijrah. We're dealing with a very different situation. Our da'wah and our work overall, the bigger scene of Islamic work, is in a very specific, it's in a very precocious place right now. And what that demands, what that requires of us a lot of times is, we have a lot of activity, we have a lot of involvement, we have a lot of work that we do in terms of da'wah. And so the instructor standing in front of you might also be the person that you originally met, and he was just cracking jokes, and he was just being silly, and he was just being nice to you. But now you're sitting in a classroom as a student of knowledge, and he's your teacher at this point in time. And so there's going to be a lot of balancing. You're going to go from, you're going to have me, I'll talk about myself, I won't talk about anybody else. You'll have me one day in class literally yelling at you for not having learned your homework, for not having done your work properly. You'll have me very, very strictly correcting you and telling you I'm very disappointed that nobody properly studied their work that I gave to them yesterday. And then you show up at Irving Masjid in the evening, and I'll be making random jokes and playing basketball and slapping the youth on the back. And that starts to become a little bit of a difficult situation to balance. How do I figure that out? So we'll be talking specifically about the teacher, the mudarris, the muallim. What exactly are the etiquettes that have been placed, again, for 1400 years in regards to that. So now talking real briefly about some of the basic principles to keep in mind to allow you to maximize your time here and to benefit to the best of your ability. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars that ever lived in the history of our ummah, his teacher was a scholar by the name of Hammad, who was a great, great scholar of his time. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was told by Hammad, he made him write this down. He was lecturing to him, he was teaching him, and he made him write this down. And he gave him a few couplets, like some poetry. And in that, he gave him some very, very key primary advice. And this goes back to the first point that we were talking about. Why are we here? What's our objective in seeking knowledge? He told him, مَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمَ لِلْمَعَادْ فَازَ بِفَضْلٍ مِنَ الرَّشَادِ. That whosoever seeks knowledge, لِلْمَعَادْ, for the hereafter, whosoever primarily is seeking knowledge for the hereafter, to benefit in the hereafter, to be successful in the hereafter, to succeed in the afterlife. فَازَ بِفَضْلٍ مِّنَ الرَّشَادِ. That person has succeeded, that person is successful, بِفَضْلٍ مِّنَ الرَّشَادِ, by being given a generous portion of guidance. That person will be guided in his actions, in his character, in his conduct, the way he lives his life. Because that person's primary objective was the akhirah. But then he says, فَيَلْ خُسْرَانِ. But who will ultimately lose? Who will lose? Who will really, really suffer? He says, طَالِبِهِ لِنَيْلِ فَضْلٍ مِّنَ الْعِبَادِ. That the person who will ultimately lose in this situation of seeking knowledge will be the person who sought knowledge. طَالِبِهِ, the people who seek it out, لِنَيْلِ فَضْلٍ مِّنَ الْعِبَادِ. Solely, their only purpose, their only desire, their ultimate objective and goal was to seek blessings from the people, was to seek virtue in the eyes of people. That person who wants virtue in the eyes of Allah, that person will be given virtue, and that person will be given an existence and a mode of conduct and character that will make him successful in this life and in the hereafter. Why? Because his primary goal of seeking knowledge was to be successful in the hereafter. Regardless of what happens in this world. Because I don't control what happens here. And I really am not too concerned about what happens here. Whether I become famous or not, I don't care. Whether I will have 10,000 students one day, I don't care. Whether people will write about me, I don't care. None of that matters. As long as I'm successful in the eyes of Allah and I succeed in the hereafter, that person will be given guidance. But if somebody just simply seeks out virtue in the eyes of people, I just want to succeed in the public arena, I want to become somebody. And you see already, right? That's a good goal, right? That's something we've been taught that's a good thing. Aspire to become somebody. Not in ilm. You don't aspire to become anybody in ilm. That the person who does that will get that. But that ultimately that person will lose out where it really truly matters. Alama Burhanuddin al-Marghainani, who's a great faqih of our history, he was a great scholar of fiqh, in Usul, he used to tell his teachers, he used to tell his students that there are, he used to quote this couplet of poetry to his students. He would tell them, فَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ عَالِمٌ مُتَهَتِّكٌ وَأَكْبَرُ مِنْهُ جَاهِلٌ مُتَنَسِّكٌ. He used to tell his students that a great corruption on this earth is a very learned person, a very learned person who is very self-absorbed and self-involved. And he said, but a greater evil than that is a person who is ignorant and yet tries to represent the religion. A greater evil than that is somebody who is ignorant of the deen, of the basic teachings of our deen, but yet tries to represent the religion. So these are two very, very profound evils that we find in society. Somebody who's very knowledgeable, but self-absorbed and self-involved, only cares about his image. And secondly, an ignorant person who tries to represent the religion. So we have to make sure that we don't fall into either of these predicaments. And then he says, "Huma fitnatun." Both of these people will be a fitna lil'alameen, for all people. Azimatan. They both will be a great fitna for people. لِمَنْ بِهِمَا فِي دِينِهِ يَتَمَسَّكْ. Because whosoever will follow these people and will try to hold on to their deen based on what they learn from these people will end up falling into trial and tribulation. Those people will find great difficulty within the practice and adherence to their deen. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he used to say, أَلَا لَنْ تَنَالَ الْعِلْمَ إِلَّا بِسِتَّةٍ. أَلَا لَنْ تُنَالُ الْعِلْمَ إِلَّا بِسِتَّةٍ. That knowledge can only be achieved. لَنْ تُنَالَ الْعِلْمُ إِلَّا بِسِتَّةٍ. That only knowledge can only be achieved through the accomplishment of six things, through the establishment of six principles. سَأُنَبِّئُكَ عَنْ مَجْمُوعِهَا بِبَيَانٍ. And he says, let me lay these out, let me clarify these to you. Number one, ذَكَاءٌ. Being intelligent. But what he really means by that is by mentally applying yourself. The first thing is you have to apply yourself to the best of your ability. Number two, وَحِرْصٌ. You have to really want it. You have to really desire it. And I'm gonna add a little bit of context to each of these. First of all, you have to apply yourself. What does that mean? It means when you sit in class, pay attention. You have to. The scholars of the past, they used to say, al-istima' is a skill. Listening attentively and carefully is a skill that has to be developed, that has to be focused on by the student. There's a lot of learning resources in place. You know, today, these days, we have students that can take notes at the speed of light. Type, type, type. And what they'll do, they'll PDF those notes and they'll email those notes out to all the students. So it's like, ah, it's all right. I can take care of a little something on the side. I can keep my email open on the side just in case something comes up. You know, a lot of times, I need to keep my Facebook open just because, you know, my brother might show up online. I want to keep in touch with my family. There's a time for that. There's a place for that. There's never any justification for that. And the reason why I talked about the ikhlas part, first of all, if you're sitting there writing out an email, typing out an email, you're sitting there talking to somebody on Facebook, it's like, I was just kind of sharing with him some of the insights of what we're learning in class. Do it later. Do it later. This might sound a little rough, and I should probably save this for later when you know me a little bit later, but I think we'll be okay without your help in terms of marketing any of our programs. I appreciate the effort, but you can save the gem board for later. I really don't care about that. What I need you to do is pay attention in class. Number one. Hirsun, really desire it, really seek it out. Yeah, there'll be somebody that'll be recording the sessions, and they'll be uploading the sessions, and you could go back and listen to the recording later. No, if you really want it, you really desire it, it will show primarily. I don't care if you listen to the recording, I don't care if you read the notes, it will show whether or not you are sitting here on time. That shows your desire, that shows your zeal for knowledge. And that might sound like, well, of course I would be here, where else would I be? I left everything and I came here, why wouldn't I be here? That's something you're going to have to remind yourself 3 months down the road. That's something you're going to have to remind yourself 6 months down the road. That's something you're going to have to remind yourself 8 months down the road. That the hirs can never really go away. You have to have that zeal, that want for the knowledge. Number three. وَإِصْطِبَارٌ. Very, very patient. Extremely patient. And that has many different manifestations. That'll be patient in regards to, I don't understand where you're going with this. That's okay. Be patient. I've already studied, I already learned all this stuff. Be patient. You might already know this, you might not understand where I'm going with this, but part of seeking knowledge, and this I'll talk more about when I talk about the interaction with the teacher and the instructor, is to trust the ilm and trust the teacher. And that's going to require not just sabr, he said istibar. You're going to have to compose yourself, you're going to have to reserve yourself, you're going to have to sit there quietly and continue paying attention and applying yourself, whether or not you see this going somewhere or not. I don't understand why you're teaching this to us. That's okay. That's all right. You need to continue to apply yourself, whether you understand this or not. Number four, وَبَلَغَةٌ. And then you have to see things through. You have to follow things through. There's no, you can't, and this is something we talk about a lot, can't be a quitter. Can't be a quitter. You have to see things through. You have to see them all the way through. I think I got kind of what I was looking for, and so I'm okay now. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna be taking some classes at the college, or I'm gonna be putting in some extra hours at work, and I think I got what I came. No, no, no. You see things through. You have to learn to complete things, and ilm is very important. And I'll tell you right now, as a teacher, as a student, and a teacher, but somebody who's been teaching for a very long time, it's the biggest problem we have. Is we have overnight sensations in terms of students. We don't have students that see things through. People start and they drop, start and they drop. That's it, that's how we have it. We have people that sometimes can't even see a weekend seminar through. So that's going to be something you're going to have to focus on. You're really going to have to motivate and drive yourself in regards to. Number five, وَإِرْشَادُ أُسْتَاذٍ. In the direction of a teacher. And I'll be talking about specifics about the teacher later on. But the direction of a teacher is extremely important if ilm is what you're interested in. And I should adjust that a little bit. If ilmun nafi' is what you're interested in, al-ilm and nafi'. If beneficial knowledge is what you're interested in, the direction of teacher is extremely important. Now again, is that me? Is that a teacher just basically just kind of, you know, solidifying his own platform? Yeah, I got to look out for myself, right? So I got to make sure everybody here understands the importance of a teacher. No. Go back to the tradition of our deen. Go back to the beginning of the tradition of our deen. Anybody here ever read, heard, listened to, learned the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam? Right? It's one of the most fundamental teachings of our deen, the hadith of Jibreel. It's like the basis of our belief system. Something very interesting in the hadith of Jibreel. The entire layout of the scenario, the entire circumstances revolving around the hadith of Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salam comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi salam as a young person, very nicely, properly dressed, sits down in front of him with adab, doesn't sprawl his legs out, sits with adab and etiquette, sits very close in front of to the Prophet ﷺ. The hadith describes where his knees were touching the knees of the Prophet ﷺ. Sits directly in front of him with adab, and then asks a question. And the Prophet ﷺ gives him the answer to the question. Then he asks him, mal Islam, mal Iman, mal Ihsan. And the Prophet ﷺ answers these questions. But the real interesting thing is, at the end of everything, when he finally affirms everything the Prophet ﷺ is saying, sadaqta, 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 and then he leaves, what does the Prophet ﷺ say about that entire scenario? He said, هذا جبريل. This was جبريل. أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. He came to teach you your deen. That format of teaching was there from the very beginning. That it wasn't lectured, it wasn't just given out, it wasn't just distributed, it was exchanged. The basis of our deen was exchanged in the teacher-to-student interaction. To impress upon us the importance of that relationship, that dynamic. You know, what is the most fundamental basic practice of our deen? What is it, everybody? Salah. Everybody knows. Very good. Salah, prayer. How was salah brought to us? Yes, the five times daily salawat were given as a gift to the Prophet ﷺ and this ummah during the journey of the Isra wal Mi'raj. Right? But that was just the injunction of the prayer. The directive of salah was given at that time. How was the salah actually taught to us? Jazakallahu khairan. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back from the journey of the Isra wal Mi'raj. Jibreel alayhi salam came to the... The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back. Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and led him in prayer. Jibreel was the imam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying next to him, meaning behind him. And Jibreel alayhi salam taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to pray. For 2 days, taught him how to pray. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the believers how to pray. The most basic aspect of our deen came to us through teacher-student relationship. These were the 5 points. We have a sixth and a final point, along with some other basic points that I'll be making, inshallah, about seeking knowledge. We'll continue on with that tomorrow. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to benefit from this investment of time and energy and resources. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to achieve ilmun nafi' from here. Jazakumullah khairan.